strength and her dignity. Clothe her with beauty. In works of her hands, she excels. A heart of compassion, she turns to the needy. In service to others, she gives of herself. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone that it applies to. Got to say that today, don't we? It's an awful thing. Let me see. Anyway, let's start with, we got an invocation first, no? Oh, a Christian home, I'm sorry. Our handout, a Christian home. You ready? Stand, please, as we sing the last. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us to come to your house, the warmer temperatures, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to set this day aside to remember our mothers and to love our mothers, Lord, and to show them how much we appreciate them. The strongest man in the world, Lord, didn't make it today without a mother, and we thank you so much for what they did to us and meant to us in our lives, Lord, as we were brought up here with you. Lord, our pastor is going to speak today. Guide him, direct him, Lord. Give him the power, Lord, that he needs today to deliver your message. I hope and pray, Lord, that it would speak to hearts of those that are listening today. They would apply it to their lives, Lord. And if someone needs to make a decision today, may that person do so. Thank you so much for our nation, Lord. But I pray for our nation, Lord, that you would see that our leaders might turn to you, Lord, and for the answer they need in guiding this great nation. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are God. And you gave us this nation, Lord. This nation is nothing but a gift from you. Help us to treat it as such, Lord, and to use it wisely. Thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 546, please. 546. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow. Announcements here now. Let's see, our evening service tonight at 6, going over our book studies that we just started here recently. We have Iron Sharpens Iron. We'll meet May 21st at 9 o'clock in the morning here at the church. Women's Bible Study is going to meet on the 21st at 10 o'clock here at the church. Wilton Bible Study, May 12th at 6 o'clock at up that way. L&M Baccalaureate Celebration will be on the 11th of May. Our pastor is going to speak there. VBS will be the first Friday of June for one day. It will be at the Spring Valley Bible Camp this year. And after the service, please pick up your gift for Mother's Day from the Fruitland Baptist Church. Happy Mother's Day to all. It's back there on the table. Pastor's thought for the week, M, as in mom. Mentor of the next generation, O, often overlooked. But she is actually a minister for Jesus. So we have our guys come forward now. We'll take up our morning offering. We got one. I guess I'll fill in. We got two. Three. Do I have more? Here comes Doug. You got Phil. I'll take a spot in a minute. Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for getting us here today. Beautiful day it is, Lord. Thank you for the spring season, Lord. It was a long, cold one, Lord, but Lord, you're going to warm things up. And we know that you will. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day yesterday, things that we got done. And Lord, today, here in your house, just anticipating a great day, Lord, one to honor and glorify your name through all that we do. But now, Lord, we're going to take up an offering. We just ask you to be the gift and the giver. Help us, Lord, to remember that we can never outgive you, but we can try with a small portion today. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Jason's going to come now.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. The song I brought today is one that's already been hit upon this morning by the choir. Praise God. It's from Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, woman, a virtuous woman. And that that verse is a good model for women of all ages. And I'm sorry, Judy, did you have something? Oh, okay. Well, while they're working on that, Proverbs 31 is a it's a good verse as a model for women of all ages, that to be a virtuous and righteous woman before God. And it's also a model, too, for the young men looking for a wife, and it's something to look for in a woman. Now, I did have the words up there, whether or not we'll actually get them there. The song itself doesn't lend itself particularly well to song, so not every single verse is up there. I'd encourage you to read Proverbs 31. But I do have the verses notated there on the left. A little higher up. Oh, nope, farther down. Yeah, you're right. There we go. And by the way, while she's up here, I want to thank the Lord for my own Proverbs 31 wife, too. Amen. And praise God.
More precious than jewels she is to find. His trust in her shall have no lack of gain. She does all things justly, and never if forever and the same. She clothes herself in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done noble things. All the days of your life, working with your hands. With your love for my life in our household. You fear the Lord our God. A righteous woman is worthy to be praised. Your children rise up and call you blessed. Many women have done noble things, but you surpass them all. You surpass them all. You surpass them all. Yes, you do.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much for presenting that today, Jason. That is one of the favorite texts that I have preached on many times for Mother's Day. I do try to bring us some variety, though, because there's quite a bit said in the Bible about mothers. And that is why we're here, obviously, to see what God has to tell us, right? And we know this, that I just want to ask today, we seem a little dead this morning, but who's thankful for their mother today?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm, yeah, that's right. And I am thankful for the mother of our children, Kim, sitting back there. And these things can bring me to tears. We were not perfect parents, but Kim loved her children and her husband. And Proverbs 31, along with many other things in Scripture, is a great place to start to see what God has to say, of which I mentioned it is many. No question today, and again, I want to welcome everyone here. I do hope that you'll make a special effort to honor your mother today, because that's what God wants you to do. And you know, there could be mothers here or mothers that you've had and situations in lives where maybe things haven't worked out the best. And in fact, we're going to look at one of those situations today from Scripture. But yet God superintends over all things. And so there is hope today for families and for mothers. But folks, I'm going to tell you this today on the basis of God's Word. By the way, God's Word is still supreme. And it always will be. I heard a survey this week. You know, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time by leaps and bounds. Does anyone know the second best-selling book of all times? No. Lord of the Rings by J.R. Tolkien. It has only had 1% of the sales that the Bible has. That is the closest runner-up to the Holy Bible. The problem is people like to have the Bible. Many people use it as a decoration in their homes, but they rarely ever look in it. Some of the things I'm going to present today, though, I hope will cause you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to investigate what God's Word has in it. And yes, the theme we're dealing with today is very much an adult theme, but I will try to weave our way through it for the children of God. And I trust today you'll let the Spirit guide you into the Word to draw you closer to Jesus. Anyway, it's a great day. Mother's Day ought to be every day. Yeah, what a tragedy that many people don't even take time to talk to their mother, except once a year, and sometimes they don't even do that. If you wonder why we're in the situation we're in today in our culture, I'll tell you what, the devices and all the other things are now, for the most part, the mothering and the fathering that is done in our families. If you want to see things improve, get back into the Word, do it God's way. And it'll change. And that's the solution in a nutshell to what we have in front of us. But anyway, welcome today. If you're visiting today, we're glad you're here. I trust today will always, and every day that you walk into the doors here at Fruitland Baptist Church will not be a waste of your time. And that, again, it will draw us closer and to consider the God of the Bible and the things He has for us. So this morning, the message is, it is not Proverbs 31, but Jason already brought that to you. But today is just simply titled A Mother's Day Message. We're going to be focused primarily in Genesis chapter 38 this morning with a few rabbit trails. So we did not do a reading today, but we'll read that scripture here as we go through our message this morning. I welcome you. I'm glad for all that are here. If you're visiting, we're really glad. And don't forget to pray for someone today that you don't see her who is regularly here. Even on Mother's Day, there can be things going on in people's lives, including mothers, that would have disrupted the fellowship with the Lord today. So let's go to prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Father, thank you once again for this day. And Lord, it is a day set aside by man to honor mothers, even though we know, Lord, that you tell us we are to always honor our father and mother, even when they haven't been the right kind of parents. That is your will, because it is your institution, and it was the design that you had for society. So, Lord, help us to get that straightened around, too. But before we even honor mothers, we need to honor you today. This is your day. Every day, the Bible says, is your day, but this is the first day of the week. And so we worship you today as a risen and resurrected Savior, a living Savior, with a word that is live, and with a plan that is live for mankind. Lord, I'm thankful today that even though we mess things up terribly in your plan overrides all of it. We never fool you on anything. You've got it all figured out ahead, and we'll see this right here. So why don't we, Lord, today, my prayer is we get on the right side of things today. We can do that right now this morning as we go through this word. And I pray the Spirit will speak to the hearts today, that no one will leave this building the same, that we'll consider trying it your way and see what happens. Now, I thank you for all that have come out today, Lord. I realize there are people missing today like we have on every Sunday. We pray for our community. Lord, we know that in the hearts of people here today or not here today, there's troubles, things that maybe are disrupted in their lives. Lord, maybe someone that has an illness today. All kinds of things, Lord, that affect the human experience. I pray today, Lord, for those people. And I pray for the ones that are here as well, Lord, that you would lighten our hearts and, again, speak to them this day. Now, Lord, we do think of those that are in need and struggling. I pray today, Lord, that you'll be the God of all comfort and peace and all sustainance. To those that are in need, you are the God of all provision, and we recognize and acknowledge it today. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching. I'm always a little apprehensive when I step up here to do that. It's a big responsibility, and I know this, it can only be accomplished through your power and through the Holy Spirit that there's profit from this message. So it's not me, Lord. I'm shaking here, but I need your help, and I pray that you'll speak through me today. So we give you thanks in advance, and as we proceed, Lord, may this be a great day, and thank you once again for the institution of motherhood. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, friends in Christ, may I express first of all to the mothers present today, thank you. Thank you. I think if you really talk to many mothers, they'd say in some ways it is a thankless undertaking, but it's a blessed undertaking. And I know that my wife has never regretted the institution of motherhood. And I'm thankful for that today, for the example that she has set. And I do pray today that you'll have a well-deserved and joyous day in your honor this day. I trust it will be a blessing. As per usual, our message this morning is meant to honor and glorify the God of the Bible and cause us to consider his vastness and to motivate us to worship and praise for him, for he alone is worthy. Amen. Amen. That's why we're here. Amen. But let me first say this. The mother I was led to speak on today is not the idealistic, godly woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, to whom mothers should aspire to be, of whom several examples exist. But she's one of questionable integrity and motives, who in spite of her sin, God used in his master plan. Now, I know we have an idealistic thought about Mother's Day, you know, mother in her garden picking the flowers, the house in perfect order, lives in perfect order. There's a few of those around. They're getting fewer and fewer all the time. Our culture has moved away from that idealistic thing. We like to think about it, but it's not the case. I know I'm not a woman, but I know this like a father. There's not many mothers or fathers today that could say that they've done a perfect job of things. Am I accurate on this? And in the day that we live, it's tougher and tougher. By the way, don't ever forget this. You allow things to be tougher and tougher. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to have a mansion that you live in, a multi-million dollar mansion, a boat and 10 cars. You'll still get along if you put the priority on your children and the Lord and rearing them for the Lord. You know what? God has promises in his book. He says he'll take care of us. And yet, what do? We give up some of the most precious things. I'm talking children, and give them to the care of other people that don't care, that are only in it for a check. But folks, the vast majority of mothers, whether it be in current day or throughout all history, are not the Proverbs 31 mothers. That's an idealistic goal. It is certainly a goal that God wants. And some have lived up to it better than others. But let me assure us today, and we can be joyful in this, God's plan overrules our sin. And we're going to see that proven today in a situation that many of you probably wouldn't like me to preach today. But hopefully, it will pique your interest today to look into the Word of God and see about this interesting event that is recorded in Genesis chapter 38 and how the outcome of it affects us to this day through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Your tragedy today can be turned into triumph through Christ. There is hope. Now, I got to go back to my notes. Sunday, I'm going to come in here and just do stump preaching. Now, I got to find where I was here. Yeah, I think I read through all that. In spite of her sin, God used her in his master plan. I never endorse, nor does God, sin. And this mother's character is not a good example. But the hope in this message is to mothers that have made mistakes, that God can work in spite of them, and that motherhood and mothers are to be recognized and valued, even in adverse circumstances. If you're here today holding a grudge against a mother that did you wrong, let it go. Because you know what God says? This is all going to be a part of our fallen race. And it all began with the first two humans that are recorded in the Bible. But God commands us to honor our father and mother who gave you life, whether it's good or not good. You wouldn't be here without your parents, without your mother. God is telling us that's a baseline thing in our lives. We have to at least what? Acknowledge what someone has done that brought us into this world. As I've said many times, I had a very good mother, Grandma Charlotte, to my children here present today. I see a smile. And, you know, that's an important thing. But even if it hasn't been that way in your life, God wants you to honor your parents. They're your parents. Anyway, here's what God says in just one place among many in the Bible. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I got to eat healthy. I got to be careful how I handle myself. I want to live long. But how many people remember this passage? It's very simple. Honor your father and your mother. God honors that in longevity of life. Now, that's not the whole point of the message today. It gets deeper. By the way, is anyone here not able to take some strong medicine this morning? I will be very careful how I preach this. I am trusting God that he'll direct you to look at this whole passage and what took place in this life of the mother that we're going to look at today. The name of that mother today is the lady named Tamar, found in Genesis 38, and we're talking about her two sons, Zerah and Perez, and we're going to see what took place here. Now, I don't have a note sheet for you today. It's not on the screen. You do have a note sheet on your bulletins. And you can scratch a few things down. And if you have other questions, read your Bible. It's all there. Or if you do have questions, give me a call. But not during lunch today. If you'll allow that. But I would take a call if it's important. Absolutely. So what I want to illustrate to us this morning carefully is a brief background about Genesis 38. And what this is about here today is about one of the key heads of one of the tribes of Israel. And this is a child that is a child of Jacob. We've been studying about some of the patriarchs in here. And the guy's name is Judah. Now, I just want to let you know this right away, that there's an important thing about that tribe, that son of Jacob, in Judah. Because the Bible records that Jesus, the God-man, is going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there's going to be a physical tie in Jesus' humanity to this character named Judah. Well, Judah is recorded in Scripture here in the first part of chapter 38 as having some children. And he was married to a lady named Shua. And what happened in that family was tragic because some of the sons passed away. And recently, we've talked a little bit about a thing that was done in the Middle East that was actually endorsed by the book of Leviticus. It was called Levirate marriage, where when a son and a wife, and the son died or was killed for some reason or another, another brother came along and raised up seed to his brother's name in those type of situations. And that's the situation that we have here. But the problem is because, and you can read the context, but because of sin and disobedience, this was not accomplished. But one of the sons here of Jacob and the Canaanite woman, Shua, was a guy named Ur. I had to really struggle with Kim not to name our first son Ur. No, I'm just joking about that. Girls, are you satisfied with your names? Bethany and Julia are here. Yeah. I lobbied hard. No, we wanted to pick nice, solid names. I tell you, some of the names I see out there today, you know, because of confidentiality, I can't share with you some of the names that people choose for their children today. It breaks my heart. I wish I could share them. How could you name your child some of the things that they are named? Anyway, what happened is that Ur died, and he married a gal named Tamar. That's one of the main characters in this. And time went on, and this Levirate marriage thing did not come to pass for various reasons that are very graphic. You'll want to read this chapter that I can't bring forth here. But what eventually came to pass, and it was sin, by the way, on the part of Judah and how he handled the situation. And the widow, Tamar of Ur, she recognized this, but she didn't do the right thing. She committed more sin, and Judah committed more sin, and so what we find from this is a tragic event in some ways. It certainly is not an event that is acceptable to the God of the Bible. But thankfully for all of us in this room today, God works through those kind of events for His glory, and we're not without hope. But anyway, to make a long story short about this, as I give you this brief background that you can look at here in the first part of Genesis 38, is that Tamar dressed herself in the clothes of a harlot. I'm going to leave it at that. You adults know what I mean. Young people, you can ask your parents. And what she did is she went out on the road, and guess who came along down that road? Her father-in-law, Judah, headed out to shear sheep. I've always told our family, the day you shear sheep, be very careful. He was headed up to Timnah to shear sheep. And he goes along the road. By the way, do you get the connection here? He is this lady's father-in-law. And he approaches her. And an illicit relationship takes place. Interestingly enough, she had a price for her services. She says, he didn't have any money with him that day. That's how I am a lot. She said, well, you know what? You can go ahead and we can have... And she was veiled. He didn't know who she was. He says... She says to him, these services can be rendered, but leave a couple of things. Does anyone remember what those two things were? Your bracelets and staff, along with your signet ring. A signet ring is a very personal thing back in that culture. It's kind of like your signature. You know, none of us have signatures alike. There's forgers out there that can come close, but people that really study writing know that we have a writing that is specific to us, how our brain functions, and that's handled. This signet ring is the same thing. When he gave this ring to her for payment, that was a dangerous thing because, you know what, it could be traced only to who? To him. Well, the story unfolds. And again, I have to be careful how I go about this. But you know, things happen in threes and conceptions, after about 3 months, sometimes are revealed. You understand what I mean? Older folks, mature folks, if you don't see me later. And the word comes down and says, hey, your daughter-in-law, who is a widow is going to have a baby. And what do you suppose old Judah said? Go find her, I'm going to burn her. So I'm going to take you to the context here of how this all unfolded before we get into the story. Genesis 38. Anyway, you get the idea here that Tamar was going to be a mother illicitly by an unscrupulous means by her father-in-law. So let's go over to 25 through 30 here and see how this all came about. Genesis 28, 25 through 30. And I want you to read the rest of the context on your own, hopefully today. When she was brought forth, this is after the questioning, to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, who are these, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff? Uh-oh. They're yours. Wouldn't that be something? Well, Judah didn't run, but it says here he acknowledged them in verse 26 and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. Shelah, by the way, was the youngest son who should have gone in to raise a child by Tamar, according to the Levitical marriage, and Judah withheld it. He didn't do it. It was sin on his part. It was sin on his part what he did on the road. It was sin what Tamar did. Folks, even today, as far as things have gone, this would be considered a what? A mess. But this kind of stuff is not that uncommon today, folks. And that's why I bring it to you today, because God can still work in these situations. He's not done with people. He still loves people. There is a price for sin. I would never endorse these things, but God will still work with you or me or anyone else who has made these kind of mistakes. And he worked through this. Now, are you interested to see how this turns out? Obviously, how many of you even have read this before in the Bible? Oh, yeah. You'd be amazed, though, the people have come. I never knew that was in the Bible. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot you don't know that's in the Bible that I even don't know that's in the Bible. Because it's full of things. You'll pick up new things every time. Read your Bibles. It's good stuff. Remember, it's a bestseller. We could talk about so many things on these type of things. But the facts were established. Now, verse 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail, obviously Mother's Day today. You've heard the story when dear young Bethany there was born. And by the way, you know this, the day that a mother delivers a child is the closest you'll come to death in a healthy situation. I was helping Kim through the ahis and ahus, asked her how she was doing, and she threw ice at me. I'm telling you the truth, Beth. You were there, but it's a rough thing, right? And here she was in travail, is what the Bible says. That behold, twins were in her womb. I don't know a lot about twins and what the experience is like, but, you know, I think that the double or nothing thing there might be a little tougher than the single. Anyway, verse 28, and it came to pass when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. Now, we also know one thing here as well, that this birth was likely a what? A breech birth. Right? One of the twins' hands came out. Technically, that twin should have been what? Why was it marked with a red line, a scarlet thread? Because it was the firstborn. And we've just been talking about that in messages. They were the what? They were the ones that received the double portion. They were the eldest in the birth of the males in this case. But did you notice what happened here? She marked him as first, but the other one came out first. The hand went back, and the other child came out first. And the midwife says, "How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee." Therefore, his name is called Phares. Phares means firstborn. And it also means division. Now, hold on to that. Remember, he's not the one with the scarlet thread on that marked him as the firstborn, because that went back to be born second. But Phares also means division. And there's a clue to this, because he is going to be in the line of Jesus. And the fact of the matter is that there is a line through the Bible that is a scarlet line. There's another lady mentioned in Scripture coming up here in the book of Joshua. Her name is Rahab. She also was a part of that red line. Incidentally, Rahab was also a prostitute. And this is going to merge, and I'm going to give you this before it's all over. But God was at work in this birth, in this awful situation, to produce the lineage of his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? See, there's hope for all of us today in Jesus Christ alone. Anyway, interestingly enough, he should have been the one with the scarlet thread. But also remember this, his name means division. Jesus, and that foretold Jesus. Jesus is not a uniter of people, he is a divider of people. The lines in our world today are nominally divided between those who are for Jesus and those who are against him. And by the way, if you're here today on the line, you're against him, because Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Anyway, Zerah means brightness or east. Just thought I'd let you know that. That's what his name meant. But anyway, and afterward came out his brother, verse 30, that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. So there's the birth account for Mother's Day of Tamar and the results of the illicit relationship and how people operated in that. Pretty bad, isn't it, the way those things go? By the way, normally in those kind of situations, those boys would have had a lot of troubles, wouldn't they have? But when God got a hold of the situation, it worked out. Now, the third point today, in case you're keeping notes. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 1, 3 through 16, please. And I'm going to tell you what I already told you, or explain what I told you. Matthew chapter 1, 3 through 16. Now, I know no one likes to look at these genealogies. By the way, the Bible has so much information in it. Solid information, by the way. But the point here of point three is that Jesus came as the Lion of the tribe of Judah through his earthly stepfather, Joseph. He also came through his mother, Mary. Joseph was the legal line that he came through. His mother, Mary, was the humanity or the bloodline for his humanity that also came through David. Now, you're going to find some interesting names here in this genealogy as we go through. Here it is, verse 3, Matthew 1, 3. And Judas, or Judah, begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. There's the record. And Phares begot Esrom. And I'm going to skip over some verses here. And then go down to verse 4. And Naasson begat Salmon. You remember a guy named Salmon that's mentioned in Scripture? In the book of Ruth. Connected to Boaz, the guy that ended up marrying Ruth. All this is lineage. And Salmon begat Boaz, there it is, of Rahab. Remember what I was talking about earlier. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. I love David and his character in the Bible. He was a guy that really followed the Lord. He was a sinner. He had a lot of struggles, but he loved the Lord. When I think about David, I know there's hope for people like me. Amen. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. Solomon was, that's the difference between Solomon and Solomon. Solomon was purported by Scripture to be the wisest man that ever lived. But let me tell you, if he was wise, he was pretty dumb. When you read about all the things he did, right? Just like you and I are. And notice that it's noted here, of her that had been the wife of Urias, or Uriah. See, when we look at our humanity, it's not pretty. And we say, well, these things happen. But let me tell you something, folks. There is hurt that goes along with this. David had another man's wife. He took another man's wife and had her husband killed. Murdered. And you know what? They lost the child because of that. And yet, God gave him Solomon. You can read about all this in Scripture. By the way, find me another book by as many authors that has the antiquity of the Bible that gives all these facts all run together. You ain't going to find one. This is divine writ. It's an account that is accurate. Anyway, let's go on. I want to get down over to verse 16 because I know on Mother's Day you want to get going. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. By the way, it says there, he was born of Mary. It does not say that Joseph was the father. And we know the scriptures confirm that. Yet he was Jesus' foster father or stepfather here on earth. And so in legal terms, Jesus had a lineage through Joseph, his stepfather, legally, and through the bloodline, his mother Mary, which both came from David. Don't you find that incredible? That through our sin, God can bring triumph. He chose to bring his sinless Son of God, Jesus, through this mess. Maybe some of us in this room today are products of a mess that God has used. Maybe some are in a mess today that God will use. I believe that He'll use people if we turn to Him, mothers, fathers. By the way, I never take anyone off the hook. I'm on the hook yet. Our children are not yet raised. They will not be fully raised till Kim and I exit this world. They may not agree with that, but I still love them. I still want to have time to work with them by God's grace. And the grandioso is here too. And he's even got a smile, even from Chicago. Well, there it is, folks. Do you notice the end of that? Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ, God's anointed. Jesus, Jehovah saves, God's Christ, God's anointed one. God sent him for us. For people like us. That's why Mary is told in Scripture. She was privileged to bring the Savior. You know, Eve is held up again as a, the foundational trend of women and what was to take place and how that all transpired when she and Adam fell. But Mary was used as a vessel of God. God can use you, mothers, even if your children are already grown, as a vessel for his use yet today. But let me just say this, today is the day to get it right. Why mess around another day? By the way, in case you don't know this, time is short. And every day I live, I know it gets shorter and it goes faster. And it's very easy to put things off. But I encourage you and I implore you today, don't put them off with God. He knows the outcome. You can be a part of it today. Anyway, last point. God works in spite of people's sins to bring about his plan of redemption. God never endorses sin, and we should resist its practice. Bottom line, that's the teachings of Scripture. God never endorses it. But if there are issues in our situations that have disrupted a mother or father's life and walk with Christ, Jesus wants it to be and makes a way for it to be reconciled today. That's Jesus. He's not out to put the hammer on anyone. He wants to see these things corrected. Amen. I like that, Jesus. And he makes a way for it to happen today. First with him, for he is ready to forgive, and then to those children and others affected toward their mothers and fathers, because God is still at work today to see miracles happen in his plan for all the ages. I had a man call me that used to work for us on the farm the other night, didn't we, Kim? His mother, I won't use names, but his mother now has Alzheimer's. He hasn't talked to her in years. Today he was going to a church in Ottumwa to go to church with his mom. He wasted years. Folks, I can take you up to the nursing homes and care centers, and I go into a room, and people say, I have family in town, but I haven't seen them for a year. God forbid there's someone in his room in that situation. What are you waiting for? I am so thrilled, and I told this gentleman when he called, I'm so glad. I'll use his first name, Brian. I said, Brian, that's the best thing you can ever do. He said, I think it's going to knock the socks off my mom when she sees me. I hope she'll remember who I am. He'd been warned by relatives for months that his mother was in bad shape. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day to not go to Jesus. I want to hear. I asked him to let me know. Kim, listen to what happens today. Because what I'm hoping is there's going to be a big reconciliation. Anyway. Miracles happen in his plan for all the ages. John 6:37 through 40 says this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. See, Jesus got here through some miraculous ways in his humanity, that God worked through people that were troubled. God's not done with us today if you're not done with him. It's that simple. Well, here's the conclusion, because time's up. And it's really the big thing about this. Will you respond to the call of forgiveness and reconciliation that Jesus offers today, both to him and to each other? And what better day than Mother's Day? You might remember it from 2022 to get it set straight. So moms, have a great day. May this be a day that the Lord uses mightily. Amen. We have a handout, I believe, today. I've got to dig it out here. Let's stand if you're able. But this is a time to respond. Happy the home when God is there. And you know what? Today, if you're struggling in your home, bring it to Jesus. He has time to hear you today. If you're led, do it right now. If you're led, do it right here in public. You know, Jesus did everything he did in public for us. He'll honor it if you come to him publicly. Let's stand today. But if you want a happy home, Jesus has to be the center of it, truly. It'll never be a perfect home, but it can be a happy home with Jesus. Let's sing this, You Respond Today. By the way, you will respond, whether you respond physically or in your personal walk with God today. If you don't do anything, you have responded and said, what? Nope, I'm going to keep right on going down the path I'm on. Isn't it great that God gives us those freedoms and those opportunities today to draw closer to him? He'll draw closer to you. Happy the home when God is there and love fills everyone. When with united work and prayer, The Master's will be done. Stanza four. Lord, let us in our homes agree. Peace to gain. Unite our hearts in love to thee. And love to all will reign. Lonnie, would you close us in prayer, please?